Coming to you live from the west side of the I Street Bridge, it's The Nate Darling Show.
Call me sir, goddammit.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, trust him. He's a professional.
Pardon my French, but you're an asshole.
Here's Nate.
I am about ready to throw this computer through the window.
Don't do that.
Without opening it. God damn it.
You're very upset.
I have no idea why. I have no idea why this happens. But the cursor on the computer, you'll place it over something, and then it will just randomly jump to another part of the screen. So you literally can't click on anything. And as you're, like, I'm doing it, I have a wired mouse because the laptop's sitting a little bit away from me. And you're like, hey, can you just use the trackpad? Go to the trackpad, does the same thing, of course. I knew it was going to happen. So I was able to start it because we're recording. It's flashing recording, so it's going. We've been recording for a minute and 5 seconds.
But maybe we will never be able to stop recording.
I can, because I can go up there. It's a touchscreen laptop, so I can go up there and punch that bitch.
Oh, yeah, punch it.
Punch that bitch. Well, it's off to a great start.
Now it's time for the airing of fucking grievances.
This goddamn fucking laptop. And we're done. It was a short one.
That's it.
It was a very short grievance process this time. Listen, we've all got our things to deal with.
And hey, everybody has their thing.
It's true. We all do. All right, let's get into the show. Jason, how was your week? Your lovely wife has returned.
Oh yeah, so she's back. Which it's great. It doesn't feel strange or weird or I don't know. I kept myself busy, like so I didn't think about it. I tried not to think about it too much, you know. Like on set, like last Saturday, I was just like, was movies all day.
What?
Anyhow, and then this Saturday, I hung out all day and just
quit. What?
Yeah. So I guess I did. I try to keep myself.
What?
It's wonderful having them home, and I can't believe how much I miss them.
Aww.
And how much I miss my daughter. And really, I guess I didn't want to overgush. I was trying to I was trying to withhold myself because I didn't want to gush too much about how much I did miss them. And
sure.
Back. So it's pretty awesome. And that was like pre them, like, you know, like kind of, and then like they're like, yeah, they're back, and it's awesome.
Kareem, what about you? How was your week?
Trying to think. Busy. Work was really, really busy. Today I'm dealing with a little bit of, I don't want to call it food poisoning.
Ooh. Oh my God!
Do you know what caused it?
Come down for moose soup after!
You did it, did you?
We decided to go to a real Chinese restaurant.
A real one?
Yeah. And I was telling Nate outside.
Dirty son of a!
By real, I mean that we were the only non-Chinese people in this restaurant.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, so they had shit like chicken feet.
Mm-hmm.
And
what?
Duck and...
What?
Those balls of whatever.
What?
The dumplings?
Not the dumplings. So they had the dumplings, but they had like, I don't even know what the hell the things are called.
Bows?
What?
They're balls.
Are like dough, and then they have like a meat inside of them. Bao.
So they had dough. So they had all the shit that Chinese people order in a Chinese restaurant. None of the shit that we eat.
No. Oh, they're not going to,
Yeah, so.
You wanted American Chinese food.
What? We have tape of Kareem's brain on his way into the restaurant.
So I don't know if you guys have been. So you know, normally when you go to the restaurant, they come and take your order.
Yeah.
These people rolled around with carts.
Yeah.
And offered you stuff out of the carts.
Yeah, it's dumpling service.
You take.
Yeah. And so my boss was just taking. And so
that's what you gotta do. You gotta take it.
So we tried it, and yeah.
You didn't like it?
No, it was actually good, but yeah. My stomach didn't like it this morning.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean,
that was freaking crazy.
Or today.
Yeah. I mean, like, that is the thing with cuisines, right?
Sorry.
No, it's okay. I was talking over the drop. Sorry.
Yeah. No, I double punched it. My bad.
No, that's the thing about eating, like, really ethnic food. Like, no matter where you are, whether that's, you know, Mexican, like, really, like, Mexican, like, you know, hot Mexican food, really hot Thai food. Yeah. Your intestines aren't necessarily going to be up to speed yet.
Yeah. Oh, my God!
Yeah.
You don't want to just go out and eat a big bowl of moose soup.
Yeah, we've heard from Kareem's colon.
Oh, my God!
Yeah, that was pretty much the day. So
that is the worst wake-up feeling.
Oh, man.
When you have that and you're just like...
Oh, my God!
I think that actually was what I said when I woke up.
That happens now when I eat, like, really, really... Like, if I want to eat, like, a bunch of really hot wings,
yeah.
Like, the next day... Like, that's what used to happen when I eat Popeyes. Like, I would eat Popeyes, and the next day, my butt was not excited.
Yeah.
Woo!
Well, now you know.
Yeah.
And no one's half the battle.
Yeah.
It is really, yeah, you know not to go there.
That will not be back.
Mark that down with that vegan place you went to in Oak Park.
Exactly.
The vegan smoothie place.
Yeah.
We're going to the Chinese restaurant and then the vegan smoothie place after because I hate my insides.
Yeah, I think that's what you said right before you did both of those things.
I am at war with my colon.
What?
Yeah, war with my colon is what I said. Okay. So... I on Sunday, Leslie wasn't feeling well, and she has to go down to L.A., as you're hearing this today, Wednesday. So she's like, I'm not really feeling well. We probably should go to urgent care. And a few weeks ago, she had a bit of a sinus infection. So we're like, well, maybe it's the lingering effects of that. Maybe it's strep because that's going around. So we go over to the urgent care in Midtown. And the wait wasn't too bad. We got in about an hour and 20 minutes, so not terrible. And we go in and we get this doctor, nice doctor, white doctor. Don't get the white doctor, just for the record. I'm just kidding. Nice guy. He finally comes in and he does an exam, looks in her ear and goes, oh, you have an ear infection. And she's like, oh, okay. You know, you get the eustachian tubes that go from your ear to your throat. So that makes a lot of sense. And he goes, do you want to do a strep swab? He goes, because I'm giving you antibiotics, and it's the same antibiotics, so it'll kill them both. And she goes, well, if that's the case, then no. So we go on our merry way. We get back in the car. We get out of the parking garage, pay the $5 to the guy with the Pokemon Go watch, because he's stuck in last year. And we are... We're probably about a half mile from there. Phone rings in the car. Don't recognize the number. Answers the phone. Hi, this is Dr. So-and-so from Urgent Care. Are you still in the building? I'm like, no. Why? Well, if you wouldn't mind, we'd really like you to come back and take the strep test. Because it turns out that if you do have strep, then... you're going to want a longer course of antibiotics. I'm like, all right. So we turn around and go back. And my thought is, shouldn't you have thought of this shit when we were sitting there? Being as you are the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So we go back. And we go back inside. And it's like, there's nobody at the front desk, of course, because it's around their lunch break.
Right.
About 5 minutes, somebody comes up and they bring us back. And the nurse, who's very nice, said, thank you for coming back in. We're just going to get a swab. Here we go. Swabs Leslie's throat, starts to walk out of the room and goes, oh, I'm really sorry. This is a flu swab, not a strep swab. So I have to do another swab. So she then goes and gets another Q-tip because apparently they're different somehow.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. This is a straight shoot. This is a straight shoot.
What?
Okay.
What?
So she does the strep thing. She says it'll be about 7 minutes. So we wait, comes back, does not have strep. And we're like, great.
Thank you.
And we are on our way. This time it's only $1 to get out of the parking garage. We have now spent $6 on parking. And we went over to Susie Burger, had a brunch-lunch sort of deal there because it was close by and we're really hungry at this point. And we come back over to the west side of the Sacramento River, to West Sacramento, where our drugstore is. And they've got a drive-thru. And on the weekend, they only have so many people working, so they close for lunch. The drive-thru does.
Yeah.
Which is fine. We get there, and we know it's going to be like an eight-minute wait. Not a big deal. So we just sit in the car, and we're like, great. So they come back, and like, can I help you? I'm like, oh, yeah, we got a prescription for so-and-so. He goes away, comes back like 3-4 minutes later, goes, we don't have anything. Is it a refill? And we're like, no, went to urgent care and they should have put in an order for an antibiotic. And they're like, no, we don't have anything. We're really sorry. You should probably call the doctor and see what was up. So we pull ahead and we call urgent care. And the nice lady at the front desk answers the phone and she's like, hold on, let me check and see what's going on here. So she comes back and it turns out the good doctor had apparently, when he put in the prescription on the form, instead of sending it to the pharmacy, he apparently checked the box that said dispensed, as if they had given us the antibiotics at that point.
Okay.
So we then, Les is like, I need to go home. So we come back home and we get in, we're in the house for maybe 5 minutes and she gets a text that her prescription is ready.
Oh my gosh.
So then I'm like,
then you have to go.
I went out and got her prescription, thus ending the saga. But it was really that's a straight shoot on exactly what happened when we just went to get, I mean, just this number of things. Like, first of all, shouldn't you know that your strep throat antibiotics run is going to be longer than if it's just an ear infection?
Right.
Shouldn't you know that? Shouldn't you, so thus, go ahead and do it anyway? Shouldn't you also know that, you have to actually send the prescription to the pharmacy? I mean, sure, I'll give you one of those. But two of them? That's a lot.
See, that's what happens when you get in school on affirmative action.
Right. That doesn't happen with an Indian doctor.
Well, no, you get in as a legacy.
Yeah, this guy was on a legacy anything. He really was not. Very nice fellow. I'm sure he's a fine doctor, but
just could have been having an off day.
Sure. He's there at urgent care dealing with whatever he's dealing with.
Like 10 people every day that come in just wanting drugs.
Mm-hmm. There was an older lady there. She was in a wheelchair, and she kept telling everybody about her bladder infection.
That's nice.
She would talk about something. Oh, and I have a bladder infection. As though she had forgotten to tell that she had told everybody. And it was at a volume that the entire waiting room could hear. So that was great.
Nice.
I'm pretty sure I caught a bladder infection.
She was trying to tell you just in case you were going to try to get some.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know what her motivation was, but we all knew she has a bladder infection. Hopefully that's gotten better. But
yeah, hopefully.
But yeah, I think the lesson here is don't go to urgent care. By the way, it's the worst named thing ever because there is literally nothing urgent going on there.
Wow.
I've never been to an urgent care where anything urgent has happened.
This could just be because I've had asthma my whole life.
Sure.
So I've had to go to urgent care so many times.
Was it ever urgent?
Never. And I think that by the time I was 22, 23, or by probably about 26 when I started having real health care, like myself, that I would just wait until Monday, and then I would go see, like, same day at
right.
my clinic, like, wherever it was. Because it's so shitty, and you never get anything. It's always, they're bad places.
Well,
or
and
overworked staff.
And we've been there a couple of times before, because when you have an issue on the weekend,
that's
where you go. And like I said, she had a midweek thing where she was going to have to travel. Being able to get antibiotics 14 hours earlier
right.
is, you know, 12, 24 hours earlier. That's a big deal
yeah.
in kind of how you feel about everything. So They were all very nice.
Yeah.
I will say that. Everybody was very nice. They were very apologetic, including... And when I went back to pick up the pills at the pharmacy, the person was like, can you let her know that we never actually got the prescription before? This was like, we just got it. It wasn't like it was here before. And I'm like, yeah, we know. We called the doctor.
Yeah.
And I told him what happened. He goes, oh. But yeah, we didn't have it before. And I'm like... So this poor son of a bitch who works the
drive. He's like, I can't get another two.
He works the drive through. He works the drive through at the pharmacy, or just the regular pharmacy, and he has apparently had so many people yell at him for shit that's not his fault.
Yeah,
he goes into full on stop hitting me mode.
Poor guy.
Before you do anything,
because you gave him a chance. Most of the time, he doesn't even get to say he's sorry. It's just somebody telling him how shitty he is.
Right. My favorite was I pulled up to that same drive-thru one day, and there was a dude on a bike. Not a motorcycle, a bicycle. And he's there, and they've got the drawer open, and he is having an animated conversation, and he's doing a lot of pointing. First of all, get your goddamn bike out of the drive-thru. At Jack in the Box, they run your ass off for that shit.
Yeah, you can't go through. You learn that quick.
At Walgreens, yeah, come on up. Come on up with your bike at Walgreens. Oh, whoops, we go to Walgreens. Why? Who fucking knows? Because they have the world's slowest drive-thru.
It's like them and CVS, that's it.
Yeah, there's a Rite Aid over here, though.
Oh, it's CVS Rite Aid, is it the same now?
I believe Walgreens bought Rite Aid, but we still have all of the drugstores, so that's really interesting.
What?
It's not interesting at all.
Not at all.
All right, so Chris Christie.
Yeah.
We've all seen the photos of him on the beach that he had closed, right? Mm. Well, he went on NJ 101.5 for his Ask the Governor program, and he said the blowback has hurt his kids more than anything else that's happened since he has been governor of New Jersey.
You had the back and forth over the whole being on the beach during the government shutdown and stuff like that. What did your kids think of all the Chris Christie memes that were on the internet?
If they looked at him, they didn't talk to me about him.
Really?
Yeah, and I intentionally stayed away from them. I have to tell you, that incident was, in these 8 years, the most hurtful incident to my children in the 8 years.
Really?
Yep.
Because you've told me before that they have developed a pretty thick skin about your
critics. I was surprised at how upset they were about this. And I'll tell you why. Because these people who made this big deal over me being at the house that belongs to me as governor, with my family, after I announced it on this program, the Monday before, that no matter what happened, we were going, because we had planned 4 months a special celebration for our children and their friends. Mm-hmm. When they saw the criticism happen, they blamed themselves.
Really?
They came to me and said, it's our fault. Yeah. We should have just told you that we would just tell off our friends to go away. And I said to them, no, this was my decision. You're not the adult. I am. And I made this decision. But I will tell you that they were more hurt by this latest episode than they've been hurt by anything else that happened in the 8 years. And they don't understand people's unfairness and, quite frankly, their ignorance. Like, you know, you had people saying, sometimes everything's
wrong. Hold on. Fuck you.
I just can't believe.
Oh, you can't?
I just can't. Oh, my God. Like, how?
Well,
how do you not realize that, like, your kids are pissed off at you, dude? Like, because it's your fault. You're the asshole. Like, you can't say that it's, like, your kids are upset because of, like, them. Like, you're the one that... You had your own actions! Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you know who else had plans? Everybody who wanted to go to that goddamn beach that you shut down.
Some of them years in advance.
Including some of the people who actually have houses that they paid for on the beach that you told them to get the hell out of, or your state police did.
Who the...
And by the way, dickface, You're the guy who closed the bridge unnecessarily. You're the guy who's been accused of being Donald Trump's lap toad after he just treats you like a dismissive little puppy. And memes of your ass on the beach have hurt them more than anything else? Fuck you.
Fuck you, Chris Christie.
Fuck you.
What a fucking tool.
Oh, no. Memes have hurt me. Fuck off. Fuck right off.
Who the fuck do you think you are, man? Like, who the... Like, you are a fucking 100-bag pound of douchebag. Like...
That's pretty hurtful, Jason.
Fuck him, man. Like, and you know what? I feel sorry for his kids, man, because to have such an asshat as a dad must really fucking suck. Like, that must really suck. Especially because he's such a cheap fucking bastard. Like... He literally could have flown them all to... He could have flown his friend, their friends, all of them to Walt Disney World for a weekend, and fucking... Nobody would have fucking even said a thing. His kids would not have...
Or he could have been a grown-up and said, kids, there's a budget crisis here in New Jersey, and I have to close the beach.
Yeah.
So we're going to look like the world's biggest assholes if we go out to the beach when it's closed to the public... Because of this budget thing.
Yeah.
Because he's the fucking adult. And he should know that. That was the only part of that statement that was right. So.
Everybody hurts.
To Chris Christie's kids, I'm sorry you're hurt, but if you're hurt that badly by a meme, you're going to want to invest in a goddamn helmet. maybe some body armor. Certainly some chain mail. Maybe some knee and elbow pads. Because life's really hard when you get out there. And people aren't going to be fair to you. Especially if you're a dick to them.
Especially if you're a dick to them.
And it's a fucking meme. It's a fucking meme. And a lot of them are hilarious.
Nate, you can't do a meme about me. You're going to hurt my children.
Look for the Chris Christie memes. They're fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I was looking at some of them around there. Long live... Christie meme.
All right, so that's enough of that. I had to add the proper REM.
I hope they make a float out of the one that they had.
or
a big balloon for,
you know, and so that was one of the memes where they had Chris Christie in the lawn chair as a Thanksgiving Day balloon. But some of them were mean. A lot of them were just hilarious. So deal with it. Meanwhile, in Pennsylvania, which is, you know, challenging Ohio for the title of Florida of the North, a Wegmans was vandalized by alleged feces spreaders. That's right, feces spreaders. A Wegmans supermarket in Northampton County, Pennsylvania, allegedly suffered the most disgusting case of vandalism recently. According to LehighValleyLive.com, two men faced charges for allegedly spreading fecal matter throughout a restroom at a Wegmans Lower Nazareth Township. Well, at least they kept it in the bathroom. small favors. The Wegmans cleaning staff had just finished cleaning the front men's room at 2:01 a.m. when the two suspects, identified as Michael J. Bauman, 19, of Palmerton, and Zachary J. Anthony, 20, of Lehigh Township, were seen on video surveillance entering the restroom at 2:11 a.m., they exited about 25 minutes later, police told the website, adding that during that time frame, no one else entered the bathroom. And when the males exited the restroom, other Wegmans employees entered the restroom and observed fecal matter spread throughout the entire restroom. What's more, police tell the website, this is not the first time the two suspects allegedly have similarly sullied the store restrooms in the area. They're serial shit spreaders. Through the course of the investigation, officers learned that this is not the first time both males have spread fecal matter throughout various store bathrooms. The pair faced charges of disorderly conduct and criminal mischief in the incident that happened on June 30th in the Wegmans.
Oh, my gosh.
Who thinks that's fun?
Really high white kids. Jason?
Here's the thing. This is like one of those things that I think
you sound like you've done this before.
No, but I've experienced somebody that's done this shit before. So I think that this is all more about like how accessible the news is and how like desperate they are for news stories that like shit like this gets put on here. Because
what?
I worked at a Walden Books that some guy went into with his Sophisticate, which is a porno mag, and spread his seed all over that bathroom and like disgustingly, like how could somebody have had so much seed to spread? Well, this guy had been saving it all for that bathroom. And you know what happened? My manager went in there because she's like, I'm not going to make anybody else clean this up. And she cleaned it up. Do you know who was not there? The news media, the police, nobody else. You know why?
Because she knew it with her tongue.
No, because she also knew.
Oh, my gosh!
Anyhow, this happened. It's been happening that stupid kids do stupid shit.
Sure.
It's just now we hear about it, like, in much more, like, in-your-face fashion.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny that these guys are already known in town. It's like, you know, these guys come in the like.
Can I use your bathroom? Fuck no.
Yeah.
Fuck no.
Yeah, let me escort you there.
Can we use your bathroom? I really got to go. No.
No.
No. No. What about the porta potty? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
I think Jason's done this before.
No, I've never done anything like that before. But I'm telling you, like, crazy, disgusting shit happens in the bathrooms at Blockbusters, at the warehouse, at the Walden Books, the movie theater.
The Blockbuster?
Yeah, no.
That's why they're closed.
Man, it just, that's the way it is. And that's why so many places have things that say, nobody, we do not have a public restroom because they don't want to deal with stupid people doing shit like that.
Mm.
That's what happens in bathrooms.
No pun intended. Meanwhile, a uniformed Hooters waitress was arrested for disorderly conduct after tangling with another female employee at a suburban Chicago branch. Sarah Rivera, 25, was collared last Thursday, according to police records. Rivera posed for an Oaklawn Police Department mugshot in a revealing Hooters t-shirt. It reveals cleavage. Debreca Green, who's 24, was also charged with disorderly conduct, a misdemeanor, in connection with the incident on July 20th. Green's Facebook page lists her as an employee of the Hooters in Oak Lawn. They're both free on $120 bond and scheduled for a September 5th appearance in circuit court, where they will mud wrestle to see who wins.
She actually should be working at Hooters, unlike a lot of the chicks I see in Hooters.
Here's the thing that's crazy. Hooters. Oaklawn. Oaklawn. They're so excited about this news story. Like, we might actually have some traction.
Come on out to Hooters.
She's working this Friday.
That's right. $120 bond. It's like, oh, I'm used to seeing much, much higher. That's like tips for the night.
Yeah.
I would think. I don't know how much people tip the Hooters waitresses. I don't as much as other people.
Depends on the Hooters.
You know why? Because I know that no matter how much I tip them, there's no sex.
Yeah, none.
I mean, now I'm happily married, so that's not even a concern. It's not even a concern. But you know, going back to my single days, yeah.
Yeah.
You just gotta know that. Alright, it's time for Cool or Tool. First up, Chris Christie, Jason.
I mean, yeah, it's let's say like there's such thing as like not just a tool, but like a toolbox. Like he is like the tool chest. He has all. He is the holder of all the tools for New Jersey.
Kareem,
he is the toolbox on the back of a F-150.
Fuck that guy. Fuck that guy.
Yeah. Is that a choice? No, you'd say core tool.
He is a broken box wrench.
He's a useless tool. He's a rusted crescent wrench.
He's a fucking ratchet that the pin fell out of, so it doesn't work in either direction. That's that fucking guy. Up next in Cooler Tool, Pennsylvania, Kareem.
Everything that's not Pittsburgh is tool.
Yeah, I'd have to say that. True that.
Don't leave Pittsburgh out. No, the entire fucking state, tool. No.
Pittsburgh. That's where my father's from.
Well, That's not my fault. That's where Joe Montana's from, too. I don't care. Dan Marino, a lot of great quarterbacks. That doesn't mean they're not lumped in with the Tool faction.
Okay, true that, true that.
Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle's from Pittsburgh, and even he can't save it. It's true. It's damn true. I went full-on Kurt Angle on you there, so... Anywho, that's going to do it for Cooler Tool, and I want to say thank you to everybody who's been shopping Amazon through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. It is the best way to support the show. It doesn't cost you anything extra, and of course, Amazon is a great money saver.
It is.
We missed the Hooters girl.
She was. Oh, yeah, Hooters.
Cool.
Kareem.
Tool. Most of the girls don't have Hooters.
I'm going to go Tool because I don't care for their wings.
Oh, we got through that.
I'm going to go the other way. Yeah, you're correct. I did completely miss out.
Sorry.
No, that's fine.
But you can do it on Amazon. You can buy a Hooters shirt if you want to.
You can buy virtually anything. You can buy books, music, movies.
Unlike Hooters, Amazon doesn't falsely advertise.
55 gallon tub of lube. Can get it. It's there.
It's there. Lard. You can probably get a 55-gallon tub of lard.
Are you talking about Chris Christie again? That's just mean. His kids are going to be hurt.
It's like six.
To be really hurt by that, Jason. Come on.
Jason, what did you do while your family was out of town?
Fat shaming is what he did. It's a bunch of fat shaming.
Fuck that guy, man. Oh, my gosh.
Shop Amazon through the Shop Amazon tab. Thanks. And if you haven't been doing it, go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it. And you can click it and then bookmark that if you want to. Just keep going back that way. All righty then. Kareem hit me to this article, and it's all about science, so I'm all in. This is why men should masturbate 21 times a month, according to science. Because science is fun. And no. While it may be hard to believe, masturbating frequently may actually result in a significantly lower risk of prostate cancer. I'd kind of heard that before, but now researchers from Harvard have released a study published in the European Urology that suggests that men who climax 21 times or more per month may have their chances of prostate cancer slashed by up to a third. As a teenager, that's like a week for me. Just saying. Averaging three times a day was nothing. The study consisted of a questionnaire given to 31,925 men over an 18-year period with ejaculation frequency determined the year before questionnaire's distribution and between the ages of 20 and 29 as well as 40 and 49. The study appears to show a statistically significant reduction in prostate cancer cases when the men masturbate frequently. Now, previous studies, as I mentioned, have suggested that an active sex life may help to lower one's risk of cancer, but now a golden number of orgasms per month has been suggested by researchers. So, ladies, if you really care about our health, pay attention. It's currently unconfirmed why, but some scientists believe a successful orgasm may flush out cancer-determining toxins that build up in the prostate. Around 1 in 7 men will experience prostate cancer in the U.S. during their lifetime. Last year alone, over 161,000 people diagnosed, and out of those, nearly 27,000 died. The risk severely increases over the age of 65, with 85% of cases being diagnosed in this age range. So keep masturbating. Luckily, the survival rate of those with prostate cancer is relatively high compared to other cancers. And depending on the stage of cancer, the treatment varies from a non-invasive surgery, radiotherapy, and surgery are available for localized tumors, but the treatment can leave you with life-changing effects such as incontinence and impotence. So keep at it.
Make sure you take the right pills when you're being treated for it. Don't take your boner pills when you're supposed to take the other pills.
Okay.
Don't take the boner pills when the company's coming up.
Oh, no. Don't want to do that. Walk around with your hand in your pocket like high school. I put my hand in my pocket just right. I can hold it down and nobody will notice. Every guy knows what I'm talking about.
And every guy knows that one of the things that hurts the most is a boner that's unchecked, like in your pants.
Yeah, because eventually it starts to feel like someone hit you in the nuts. Like, you don't handle that boner.
Oh, my gosh, man.
It's not okay.
My dad had prostate cancer, and he took his boner pills instead of the other pills.
Oh.
Right before.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Why is it? Grandpa, your napkin's folded neat.
Ow, dirty son of a!
Meanwhile, a nude man walking along an interstate. Hold on. Let me make sure I have buzzed. I have buzzed that. Great. A nude man walking along an interstate in New Jersey was using a sex toy on himself when his public pleasure session was interrupted by police. God damn it. He was just trying to prevent cancer. Officers responding to a report of a naked man walking along the tree line on Route 287 discovered Stephen Kirkowak, who's 39, in the altogether near mile marker 64 in Bergen County Township, about 30 miles north of New York City. When Kirkowak, who lives in upstate New York, was approached by two patrolmen, he stood up and pulled an object out of his rectum.
I didn't think it was that type of sex toy.
Police said he then tossed the sex toy over his shoulder.
Oh.
What are you talking about? I don't know what kind of sex
Oh.
Look, you find what works for you, and then you do you. With a dildo, he was pleasuring himself in view of passing autos. He was in possession of a digital camera as well. He told police that he, quote, liked to get naked, and his intention was to film himself. Now, prior to the arrest, he had been at a nearby county park, apparently with his clothes on. He was charged with lewdness. He's free in advance of a court hearing. His sex toy, however, remains in police custody.
How do you figure out that that's your thing? That's my question.
I don't know. Boredom?
I was a...
Your wife's in upstate New York for a whole week? You got nothing but time and...
I got rear-ended a couple years ago.
So did he.
And I was talking to the CHP officer while I was waiting for the tow truck. As I asked her, I was like, what's the weirdest thing you've encountered doing this? And she said, she told me a story similar. So she had a guy who was on the underpass,
mm-hmm.
naked, with a Boston Red Sox hat, jerking off to cars passing by.
He really liked cars.
And I was like, how the fuck? And she said that when they found him, they actually found his car. And he was like a businessman.
Mm-hmm.
Who had,
yeah, he was.
Like, he had like a suit folded and everything in the car, but this is what he was doing. I was like, oh my God.
We all have our hobbies, Kareem.
Yes. But I was like, how the fuck does that become your thing? Like,
again, boredom, your wife's in upstate New York for a week with your baby, and you're like, what to do? What to do?
Oh, man.
I haven't tried this before.
So his sex toy remains in police custody. The device was, quote, recovered and entered as evidence. So some poor son of a bitch had to bag that.
Somebody had to bag that and tag it.
Tag it and bag it.
And then they had to follow it to make sure they got
signed. You want to keep your chain of custody. Yeah. Correct. Unclear if it was a penis shaped dildo or a butt plug.
Yeah. I wish they would have said that. It sounds like it was probably a butt plug.
Well, you don't know.
Possibly. Yeah.
It could have been an ultra realistic penis. It could have been anything.
Could have been anything.
Really? I mean, it's whatever gets him off. You know, literally, whatever gets him off.
Florida, land of enchantment.
Cop was just looking
and
at him. He's like,
crazy shit. This is Florida Corner.
Alrighty. Well, you know how everybody likes to talk about how moms are so great? Well, a Florida mother was arrested on charges of bringing her 10-year-old along during an armed robbery, which turned into a police chase involved a shooting. Her name is Christina R. God. She's 30, the driver during the Friday night convenience store robbery, and stayed in the car while the 33-year-old Rodney Snow went inside to rob the store. That's according to the Orlando Sentinel. When the Marion County Sheriff's deputies responded, the duo drove off before crashing. Deputies told the paper that Snow ran into the woods and shot himself. It seems extreme. He's in critical condition. They then treated God on charges of... arrested, I'm sorry, not treated, arrested God on charges of felony child neglect and principal to armed robbery. The child, who was not injured, was turned over to the Department of Children and Families. Well, at least she didn't leave the kid home alone. See, I did find something nice to say.
That kid, like, oh my, I can't, like, in one side, that's the beginning of an awesome story, like, maybe, you know, like, of, like, some badass Jesse James-like type of guy, but criminal.
Entirely possible, but we're not done, yeah. Jason. There's still more Florida here for you.
Oh, man.
A chicken nugget fusillade has landed a Florida woman behind bars. Her name is Asia Aisha Jimenez. She's 20. She was feeding her one-year-old son on Saturday afternoon when her brother decided to grab some food from her plate. That's according to a police report. As Jimenez's sibling started to eat the pilfered grub, she reportedly became upset and threw several chicken nuggets at him and told him to stop. Upon being pelted with the nuggets, her brother retaliated by hitting and throwing water on his sister. The duo, who tangled in their family's Bradenton residence, was separated by their mother. Jimenez's child witnessed the altercation and was not harmed. By the time police arrived at the home, her brother had already left. It does not appear as if he was injured by the thrown chicken. Jimenez was arrested for misdemeanor domestic battery. She remains in custody at the Manatee County Jail. Just for the record, also in Florida, earlier this month, a pregnant Vero Beach woman was arrested for pelting her brother with frosted cupcakes at a 1:45 a.m. arcade.
That's why I thought the story sounded so familiar at first. I was like, is this the same? Didn't we just hear this story? Oh my gosh, man. That is crazy shit.
Again, I'm just going to say this. I'm an only child. So I don't have any experience with siblings like this, so I don't know. Is it really the appropriate thing to throw food at each other?
It happens all the time.
Yeah, you fighting about food, yeah, all the time. If you got siblings, you fighting about food like once or twice a week?
Yeah. I mean, that's just especially like depending on the way your dinner table is set up, you know.
Well, this was not a dinner table situation, clearly.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah. You know, you always get a nice, strong... Sisters don't punch, but it's a slap that's the equivalent of a punch.
They don't? It seems like she does.
Yeah. But it's not... It's like a balled up fist. It's not a fist fist. It's like a side fist.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah. Hitting's not okay, by the way. I just want to say that out loud.
It is if you steal my food.
Clearly, that's also the case. Meanwhile, a large spider got its moment in the spotlight during a live news report after crawling on a reporter's arm. Fox 4 News in Texas shared the video of a spider crawling on Shannon Murray's left shoulder while she was reporting on a workers' protest at the Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport. The itsy bitsy spider crawled down the reporter's arm. The station said, ha 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 ha. Here's what it sounded like.
Out by a spider during an earlier live shot. I heard her saying, there's something crawling down my arm.
I know. Gosh. Yeah, right there, her left shoulder just starts crawling down her arm, kept on going. She said she felt something. She didn't think it was a spider. Just, you know, a lot of us girls maybe have, you know, loose hair or something, but. And then a viewer pointed out, hey, good job keeping it together with a spider crawling down your arm.
Had she known, she would not have known.
I said itsy bitsy spider, but that's a pretty big spider. Ooh.
Ooh. Sweet Jesus. I'm just going to say it. Fucking relax, people. Just fucking relax.
Like, hey, we have like 5 minutes and we have a really depressing story, or you guys can just banter for a few minutes. Oh, yeah, let's just banter.
About something that happened on our air. You know, last night at this time, a spider crawled down a reporter's arm. She didn't know it was there. So, yeah.
Oh, if it was, but you want to know what? If she would have known it was a spider,
she would have thrown a fit.
She would have been good.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
I would have. If it was me, oh my gosh! I could not have taken it.
Oh my god! I don't know what she's gonna do. I'm gonna freak out, dude. Anyway, my impression. It's a terrible impression. I understand. That's fine. I don't care.
Oh, if she had seen the spider, she would have freaked the fuck out. She would have lost all her professional decorum.
I mean, she could have been a professional.
She would have lost all her professional decorum.
That spider was the kind that has a very... those weigh nothing. They've got a reasonably sized body, but just very long legs.
Mm-hmm.
Those spiders are pretty much harmless.
Yeah.
Go to Australia for a minute.
Oh, I saw that one.
The entirety of Australia is laughing at you. Like, that's not a spider. Yeah. It's a spider.
Yeah. It's definitely, I've seen, yeah, that was not a big, huge spider.
I want to go to Australia. Leslie does not, just because of the spiders.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
We haven't talked to her about that.
I can believe
right?
it.
Right? She's like, you can go with your friends. I'm like, yeah, on a romantic trip. I don't want to go down under with my friends, honey.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, you want to go on a trip down under?
Yeah.
No.
Right? Exactly. That's exactly the situation. All right. So we've talked about this. All right. So I promised that I would talk about this on the show. Let me call my Facebook page up so I can get the exact thing that I promised I would talk about. And this happened on Monday. Monday. Here we go. And I shared to Facebook and then onto our Facebook page that I have words for this, but they're all curse words and at a loud volume. This is the story of Jared Kushner. Jared Kushner, who has been put in charge of Middle East peace, solving the energy crisis, well, literally everything. And he had a meeting with Capitol Hill interns. Why? Because he's the smartest man alive. Now, according to remarks at a private event with those interns, his defense against accusations of Russia collusion, this is Jared Kushner, son-in-law of Donald Trump, husband of Ivanka, said that the Trump team lacked experience, saying we couldn't even collude with our local offices. He also offered advice to about the SF-86 security clearance form, which he failed to complete in full. He said they were barely talking to each other, so there could be no collusion. It had been rescheduled from 2 weeks ago, the meeting, that is, when he had to appear to give testimony to Congress about the Russia investigation. Okay. Are you fucking kidding me?
Oh, my God.
Are you fucking kidding me? I'm bookending this show with the unbridled balls of Chris Christie whining about his children being hurt by memes with this fucktard. We couldn't collude with Russia. We didn't know anything that was going on. If you're that fucking incompetent, then you need to get the fuck out. All of you, just go ahead and resign and get out. All of you. Now, go. Go. Fuck off. Fuck straight off. Look, if you were that incompetent at the goddamn Starbucks, people would be able to yell at you all fucking day in the drive-thru line. They would throw hot coffee in your face. And that's what you deserve if you're that fucking incompetent at literally everything you do.
My guy's taking his shirt off. Nate's going to pull Alex Jones on us.
Let me tell you something. No. Fuck. All right, this is where we are. This is where we are. There's no way we could have done this because we don't know shit. We're too dumb to be able to figure out how to collude with Russia.
Incompetence is not a good defense.
Ignorance of the law is not is not a defense. Being an incompetent boob is not a defense of treason.
Well, we couldn't talk to him that much.
Listen. Somewhere, Benedict Arnold is rolling over in his grave going, these fucking guys, my name is dragged through the mud for 200 years, and these fucking guys, at least I was smart enough to string together a goddamn sentence. These fucking guys.
These guys.
I didn't get a goddamn deferment. At least I went out to fight. I switched sides in the middle, sure. But fuck, I went out and fought. I'm now defending Benedict Arnold because of these fucktards. Seriously.
Man.
What the fuck? What the fuck? And by the way, great job stopping the leaking there, Mooch. Mooch, the new White House communications director. Oh, no, he's gone.
You got
10 days. Actually, fun fact, motherfucker got fired before his official start date. That is some greasy meatball talent, I will tell you right there. Fired before his official start date. Do you know what you have to do to get fired before your official start date? You have to show up at your supervisor's house, naked from the waist down, doing bong hits on the lawn and taking big coil dumps. That's how you get fired before your official start date. He managed to do this somehow.
I think his only job was to get Priebus out.
Okay. Okay.
This is a last goddamn time. I want somebody to use his fucking brain.
These are the people that are running our country. I swear to God, you would not trust these people to come over and make sure your house got cleaned properly. They couldn't get cleared for a care.com job. They couldn't work for the Tackle app, and they're running the fucking country. What in the sweet fuck? And by the way, even if it's true, even if that's your defense, why the fuck are you telling interns that?
Yeah, why would you?
If you can't fucking fake it in front of interns, get out. What chance do you have on the international stage when you're talking about diplomacy between major countries? People who will stare your ass down and chew you out, and you're fucking caving with this nonsense bullshit excuse to fucking Capitol Hill interns? These are people that were doing fucking bullshit spring break body shots 3.5 months ago. These are people who don't know where their insurance is going to come from. These are people that are probably on their parents' cell phone plan. And you can't bullshit them? What the fuck? What the fuck? What the fuck? What is going on? What is going on?
Yeah, yeah!
Ow, dirty son of a...
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Those were very bad times.
Hey!
All right.
Wait a second. And then before I left home, I found out that Jeff Sessions is using the Civil Rights Department of the Justice Department to fight for white people's civil rights.
I don't have a problem with that. Moving on. First of all, I'm surprised we still have one. Because they've shut down virtually everything. By the way, we're getting to the real heart of hurricane season. We do not have a head of FEMA or a head of the Department of Homeland Security. So if a major storm were to hit a major metropolitan area on the East Coast, a la Katrina or something of that nature, you would be begging to get Brownie back in there for somebody to go, hell of a job, Brownie, because there's nobody there. There is nobody there. There are literally hundreds of unfilled positions in our government right now because they've never been submitted. They never put in for it. And the president of the United States will stand there and go and ramble about how they're holding up all of his nominees. No one's holding up his nominees. He hasn't put any in. He has not put them in. In fact, someone just got confirmed as the head of the CIA earlier today as we record the show. They haven't been put in at all. What the fuck is happening? Seriously, what the sweet fuck? And what he tweets, I don't give a shit what the president tweets. It's all fucking nonsense to his core believers. That's literally all his Twitter feed is. His Twitter feed is to feed his base of people that think he is the best thing ever. So to sit there and look at his Twitter feed and go, what the fuck is he saying? That's crazy. Of course it is. It's supposed to be. Because that's who he's talking to. He ain't talking to you. you rube. He's talking to his idiot followers and fans. That's who he's talking to. He's talking to his base. And he's telling them bullshit. What was this past weekend? He wants to get rid of Obamacare worse than anything else. It's like Obama fucked all of his ex-wives in front of him. And shamed him with shamed him in his small hands. He is talking about withholding payments. These are agreed upon subsidies. These are laws under Obamacare that the government has to pay these subsidies to low income families and to a variety of other things. He, instead of calling them what they are, what did he call? I forget the exact wording he used. Bailouts. He called them bailouts. They're not fucking bailouts. They're legally required payments. Which, for someone who has stiffed literally dozens and dozens of contractors and other small business people throughout his long career as a money laundering dickweed puppet of the Russians. Oh, I'm sorry. Was that out loud? He knows about stiffing people. This is stiffing people of their agreed upon legal payments. And they're not. So for him to sit there and go, oh, well, you know, these are bailouts. They're not fucking bailouts, asshole. They're not bailouts any more than we're bailing out DirecTV every month when we send in our payment. We use their service. We're paying for their service. We're not bailing out DirecTV. We don't bail out PG&E when we pay the electric bill. We're paying the fucking electric bill because it's the bill and it's due. And that's how the fucking world works, you orange idiot.
And they're wholly elected, you know, like, majority Senate and Congress right now is getting ready to go on vacation for the next, what is it, 2 months?
Like, I don't care.
They haven't gotten, and they, like.
He lost the healthcare vote. Could not deliver on it. And the first thing he did was whine that they needed to change the rules. I could not put together a goddamn consensus, so I need to change the rules. Fuck you.
Yeah, Huckabee fuck said you. That too, didn't he?
Oh, fuck that guy. That guy's the fucking worst. Fuck Mike Huckabee. I would like to fuck Mike Huckabee with Chris Christie. I would like to sodomize him with Chris Christie. Not his dick. The whole of Chris Christie. Just jam him up Mike Huckabee. Fuck that guy. hold on. I missed this.
And now it's time for the airing of the fucking grievances.
The guy's like saying that, like, you need to not have, like, fucking, like, the Senate that's elected. I mean, come on. Like, what the fuck? Who says that?
Well, he wants to change. He didn't get his way, so he wants to change it.
Fuck these guys, man.
I can't get anything done, so I want to change it because I didn't get my way. And now I'm going to go and hold my breath.
Yeah, well.
Because I'm a 4-year-old. Wah.
What?
How did JFK get anything done? He was, but you know, Trump's way better than JFK.
Yeah, well, JFK got a few things done and then he lost his head.
Yeah. Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
All right. That might have been too far on the last one. I'm sorry.
Same on you.
I mean, sure, I called Jared Kushner a fucktard.
It's not too far.
The joke about Kennedy losing, first of all, not original. Not original. It's old. It's hack, and it's cruel. And I apologize. I apologize for my hack joke. Hey, by the way, Donald Trump, how about you think about doing that when you do something wrong or stupid? How about you just apologize? You can go on a big fucking apology tour. You can do it in goddamn stadiums.
So he's planning on. That's what he's planning on post-presidency. He's, you doing know, an apology tour.
Green Day's doing a fucking arena tour right now. You could do that just to apologize to people for being such a fucking idiot. Bring your whole family.
Get out hugs instead of punches.
Yeah, get ready. Oh, yeah. I'm not even gonna get into the whole part about him telling the cops to go ahead and rough people up. Hope he remembers that when he's being loaded into a goddamn paddy wagon. By the way, paddy wagon is not an appropriate term anymore.
No.
He said paddy wagon.
Who? Like, only, you know, I never heard, like, I did not know you could have, like, slurs against Irish people until
sure
I went to
can.
New York. And, like, I was like, oh, a paddy wagon. Because it's by the cops,
sure.
Right? And like that, no, it's because they put all the Irish people in the back of it. And I was like, oh, that's why they call it the paddy.
Well, yeah,
because
they were being all criminals
and drinking and getting all drunk.
Well, yeah, that was before we had to worry about the black people. They were all under control somewhere else. See, that's ending slavery meant it ended the oppression of the Irish. because we had to start worrying about black people, right? That's what happened. That's the history of it, right?
Sure, that's the history.
Look, it makes as much sense as anything I've heard coming out of the White House. I'm just saying.
I think that they copy and pasted that in actually the
I'm not saying it's
era.
Right. I'm just saying. It's bullshit. I'm sorry.
It's bullshit.
Sorry. Kareem, I personally apologize. All right, so let's move on to something
White
more.
Guilt part two.
Oh no! I'm just apologizing for the hack joke. It's comedian guilt. Now the sentiment at Saturday's dedication of the Gordie Little Memorial Bridge was clear. Little himself was a bridge to all, bringing people together in peace, love, and harmony in one great big bear hug. His wife Kay said he was such a sweetheart, and we all loved him. He died, of course, last June after an incident with a rototiller in his backyard on the Saranac River, just about 100 yards from the bridge that now bears his name. The 79-year-old had become a local luminary over the decades with a sparkling career in local radio, cable television, and with a stint as a crime victims advocate for Clinton County and a frequent contributor to Small Town News with his Little Bits column. A magnificent storyteller, an astute memory, and an effervescence that was contagious. Little left a mark everywhere he went. And hometown cable network was there as the Gordie Little Memorial Bridge was dedicated. So let's check in with a little bit of that ceremony.
Well, bow your heads and pray for God's blessings.
They're blessing the bridge, I believe.
Lord our God, you are all powerful.
This is an hour long thing.
Blessed are you, Lord.
We're just going to let it play.
Christ,
no, we're not.
The living get waters of salvation. Watch over us, transforming us. Grant that when we are sprinkled with this water, or when we make use of it, we will be refreshed inwardly by the power of the Holy Spirit. And continue to walk in the new life we receive from you at baptism. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Right?
We now dedicate fondly this plaque on this bridge to the memory of Gordie Little, realizing he touched many lives over the years. He was a beloved radio announcer. That friendly face on hometown cable. Those open arms that were waiting to embrace you with a hug, either on the street, at the post office, or at church. Gordie was truly a friend to all, bridging communities that would often be divided. And so, God, we are so those who were privileged to share with him. Years when he brought us so many smiles, so many memories, and taught us so very much by his own example. Even though he has left our midst, we know he will never leave our hearts, where his memory will endure as a blessing to us forever. And so, Lord, we ask you to bless this plaque. May all who look upon it remember him fondly. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
There you go. The dedication of the Gordie Little Memorial Bridge is done.
Bless you, Gordie Little.
Indeed. Thank you for all of the contributions to the show. I think he contributed as much as Diana Hong, I believe.
At this point.
Maybe more. Maybe more. Not to mention Sam Platts. By the way, our old buddy Sam Platts is now engaged. He proposed.
Oh, cool.
So if you missed the announcement, Sam got engaged to his now fiance, Nikki, over the past week. So congratulations to those two kids. Everybody have a great couple days. We're back on Friday with a fresh new episode. Probably less cursing, but I can't make any promises. So thanks again, Gordy, and we'll see you next time.
Happy, happy, put it in your heart where tomorrow dip, 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 dip,